A Shishkin Productions podcast.
What's up, Chris? No cold open because of the writer's strike, right?
Right. What?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel podcast. Coming at you live from the Matt H. King Memorial Arena.
It's true. Not a lounge today. Lights are on.
No one's home.
We're recording early.
At you. We're recording pretty early in the week, so take that with a grain of salt. If some shit happens with the strike, we're not going to know about it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what's going on.
I know SAG was supposed to do some shit, but I didn't really keep up with it. I know Fran Drescher, everyone loves her. She's going to get reelected.
Yeah,
I seriously heard that. I'm serious. And something about Drew Carey, we'll get to that later.
Oh, wow.
Chris.
What's up?
You may have picked up on this. We have a guest.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It is.
Wait, is there a reason?
Well, it's the summer of sizzle.
Oh, dude, it's the summer of sizzle.
Summer of sizzle.
It's finally here.
As promised.
Oh, man.
I went and booked 4 brand spanking new guests who have never been on the show.
Yeah.
We're outsourcing the content.
Well, we have to. We're running out of shit to talk about. Once you do 150 episodes about post-production, at a certain point.
You might have heard our guest snicker over there. Keep that to yourself until you're introduced, okay? Chris,
what's up?
Why don't you let the people know where they can find us before we really start?
Of course. We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Send it.
We are the Sizzle Reel or Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com. That one's tough to remember.
New and improved.
New and improved. It's going to stay new and improved. Don't you worry about that.
There's another new and improved website we'll get to a little bit later in the show.
Of course. Nice little tease.
Thank you.
But most importantly, the most important thing you will hear this entire show, we have the Sizzle Reel cold line.
Yeah, that thing is freezing.
That is 332-333-4361.
You said nice little tease. That's what someone told me when they saw me writing really small and in cursive.
Yeah.
Writing the letter T a lot. I don't know, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Whatever. I was like, what? Do I do it? Should I do it?
Well said.
Yeah, great. Chris.
What's up?
Should we talk about what we've been up to, or do you want to bring the guest in as well?
I'll just give a quick preview about what I was up to.
Sure.
I edited a video that was about overclocking RAM.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yo.
It was riveting.
Yo. Did you learn anything?
Yeah, actually, I did.
Coming up in what we learned last week.
Yeah, that's not going to be my what we learned, but I did learn something while editing. That
is gonna
piece
be
that will be, yes.
You got a nice little tease as well, dude.
Hey, I got great eyes too.
Okay. I want to introduce the guest before I get into what we've been up to.
Okay.
Like real in depth, because this guest also has a new and improved website. It's joecreates.com. We got the one and only filmmaker extraordinaire. We call him Joe 2.0 in these parts. Sorry, producer Joe, but Joe Schaefer is with us. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you as the primary Summer of Sizzle guest.
Yeah, this is the first guest.
This is big stuff.
The lead off, yeah.
This is the first Summer of Sizzle, and you're the first guest of the first Summer of Sizzle.
That's amazing. And this was planned, right?
Yeah.
Planned is a big word.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the Summer of Sizzle for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
Have we been planning it?
I can let the listeners in on a little secret, you know?
Sure.
I booked 3 Summer of Sizzle guests within 2 hours last night.
It's very impressive.
That's the first time I sat down to do it. See, that's my style. Do shit quick, don't spend a lot of time on it, and just wait
until the deadline.
Wait until the day before.
When did you book me, Joe 2.0?
Joe 2.0 got booked like, what, 25 minutes ago, yeah, I think? Yeah, so that was technically, I think I booked you last night when I was like, you want to come through and hang? And then I was like, oh, well, he's going to be here, so
surprise.
Might as well sizzle.
Yeah.
If it wasn't you, it was going to be Richard.
Oh,
we're still waiting.
That's going to
be the finale.
Yeah.
That's how Sizzle Reel is going.
That'll be really fun.
That'll be a great episode.
It would be incredible. Yeah. We'd have to have you back on to co-host.
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah. Talk right into that mic. Don't be afraid. It's
hey
okay.
Hey, guys. I'm here. First podcast. So.
Love it.
It took me a while.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I've been up to, Chris.
Okay.
Our movie that we made, that movie about DIY music.
Oh,
it got into
that.
Its first fucking festival.
Oh, dude, shit. Congrats.
It happened. Congrats all around to you guys as well, dude. It got in. Albuquerque, I think it's called the Albuquerque Film and Music Experience or something like that. But one of the main bands is from Albuquerque. So
okay, cool.
That's why we submitted it there. And yeah, I went to the website.
Do you think they have an award for best colorist?
I think they do, and I think you're going to win it.
That would be so stupid.
That's Chris's big thing. He colored that whole movie in one day.
Oh, basically. It was...
You'll be able to tell.
You'll be able to tell. It's not great.
Was it a Premiere Pro color or a DaVinci color?
No, I had to do it in Lumetri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Gotcha, we just didn't have time because it was honestly still being worked on while I was coloring it.
Okay, dude.
So Come on, man.
Don't embarrass me in front of the guests, bro.
Honestly, that's all great projects, though. They're just constantly being changes until the very end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our big changes were finishing it. That was the change. No, I've told this, I think, on the show before, but we QC'd it in the basement of a hotel in Atlanta through this laptop and a little Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Like two nights before we screened it for the festival.
We really like to hedge a lot. So like people know why it sucks. Like, what do you think you're getting into? Did spend 3 hours on the credits. That was...
I went to the World of Coca-Cola while they did the credits.
We drank wine and did the credits. I had a great time. I don't know if Amy did. what have you been up to this week, Joe?
Just tweaking some things. As you mentioned before, I got a new website up and running, joecreates.com. Kind of getting ready to do some more summer projects, getting my gear ready. I bought some new lights.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what they're called. I can't remember them, but I got to pick them up from B&H this week. So I'm excited for that. And
damn, you're like a shooter.
I'm like a shooter.
I didn't even know that.
I used to be a shooter before I went corporate, and now I'm getting back into it.
We met at Complex. Both as editors.
Yes.
And so we talk about this all the time on the show about getting pigeonholed as the thing that you are.
Sure,
right.
Sure. Right.
It's like, I met you as an editor. It's like, he's an editor. And it's like, oh shit. He doesn't even like editing.
Yeah. I knew him as like a post super. So that's what you've always been to me.
Yeah. And Alexi's been the sizzle editor because I met him as a sizzle editor at Complex.
I mean, low key, that's kind of all I am good at. No offense to me, I guess. But like, yeah.
Incredibly good at it, though.
I just cut fast, man. That's like what I was telling you because we were watching his reel earlier.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you actually like to tell stories. Like, this is different because.
Yeah.
My reels are just fast.
Yeah, like, you can tell the difference between like a filmmaker reel and an editor reel because the editor just cuts shit quickly.
Yeah.
And then a filmmaker wants to, like you said, tell the story and let things develop.
Yeah, I mean, we are the Sizzle Reel podcast, so make sense.
That's true.
We're sizzling. We got All-Star coming up in DC. Today we had a meeting about that, learned some things. So Chris is going to be shooting. Chris is going to become the shooter.
Solo dolo.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a background in shooting.
Okay,
I've done it professionally before, but it's just been a while.
Yeah, I don't know how much you know about this man in terms of shooting, but he used to work at the news, and they would send this guy into hurricanes.
That's true.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Do you have any fun hurricane stories?
I wouldn't call them fun.
Oh,
really.
Okay. It's just
like, I mean, they were kind of wild days. It was like 2 or 3 days of 12 on, 12 off is usually how we would do it. And there were definitely a couple times where I nearly hit a tree that had fallen in the road, but I couldn't see it because it was pitch black out and all the electricity was off. That was scary. Another time I nearly stepped onto a downed wire that I didn't know was there because like I think the producers were giving me direction to back up and then someone was like, don't back up. it's like, you know, just normal bullshit.
Were you ever responsible for getting those shots of like the newscasters and the wind's just like blowing them away and they're trying to say like, yeah, it's pretty bad out here?
More or less. Like it wasn't too, like it was never quite as cool as like someone hanging on to a stop sign being blown away, but we were active in the hurricanes and I'm just sitting there. I had like a garbage bag over my camera, a garbage bag over me, just like trying to keep myself
in
dry.
Natural habitat.
Dude, it was
living in the garbage
basically. And it was so wild because they would tell us before we were going out on our shifts, there was a chance that the bridges would they would close the bridges at any given time.
Kind of like the Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yeah.
You know how the bridge, doesn't open until when? Like, maybe 20% of the way through the game?
Something like that.
Something like that.
But we had to like bring enough food to hold us over for like 2 days just in case.
That
like,
is so nuts.
That's crazy. That sounds like it would be fun at first and then just absolutely miserable.
That's basically what it was. Okay. It's like the novelty, for the first day is like, this is really cool. And then by day three, you're like, what the fuck? Like, why are they sending me out in this? Why am I risking my life for $40,000 a year? Like, yeah. This is absurd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of, that comes with the territory of news reporting in Florida specifically. Cause mm-hmm. like, you don't go to hurricanes in other fucking states. No, you know what I mean? Like,
The other popular thing was mass shootings.
Well, that's constant everywhere. Yeah, I think. Yeah. That's just America for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I went to Parkland.
Now, if you had to work in news in any state, which one would you pick? It's a tough question.
So I
pick Hawaii.
You pick Hawaii? That's a cheap answer.
Oh, come on.
It's any a good job one, in Hawaii would be a good job.
Yeah.
I immediately went to like a dangerous city so I could do like a nightcrawler thing, which would be cool. But honestly, like something Baltimore. like Iowa. Cause like what? That's got to be the easiest news shooting ever, you know.
Yeah,
like, there's not a lot of
boring
news.
Boring as hell, though.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I'll take boring.
Nightcrawler would be like where you go to a crime scene and you're the first one there and you're filming it. That sounds so brutal.
Yeah,
I would not do that.
And then eventually you start causing the crimes, and then that's how you get the best footage.
Oh
my
god!
That's essentially what I'm working to.
Oh my
right
god!
Now.
Spoiler alert! Yeah. Jesus Christ!
The only Nightcrawler. For a decade.
Only Nightcrawler I know. I operate on an 11-year spoiler policy.
Okay.
The only Nightcrawler I know is the one from X-Men, specifically the video game.
I'm not an X-Men person.
Because you could, they had the arcade game when you were a kid, and they probably still have it. But Nightcrawler, best character, because his superpower was to just like go all over the screen.
Like Zorro?
He would move all over the screen and like destroy all the enemies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like Flash.
Yeah, kind of. He was crazy, man. That's Nightcrawler for you. So did you think of your state yet?
No.
I got Hawaii. He picked Iowa.
I guess I'm sticking with Florida.
Damn.
Tried and
the
true.
Guy in the Miami Heat shirt drinking out of the Jacksonville mug is sticking with Florida. Shocker.
That's why I was wearing my Key West hat today.
Dude, is that a downed wire? Because that's a shocker.
Maybe California.
Dude, so into the real rundown before we get to our main segment. The strike, writer's strike. As far as we know, it's still going on.
Okay.
Granted, you know, like I said, we're recording way early for this one.
Yeah, so we're recording a couple days before the SAG deadline, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. Paul Scheer, you know Paul Scheer?
I don't.
He's like a comedian. He hosts a podcast called How Did This Get Made? And I believe the League or something like that.
Yeah.
But he, I guess, he posted a video. There's a video on TikTok where it's about Drew Carey and the writer's strike. I'm going to just play it for you guys so you can kind of hear the audio from it.
Let me just call out Drew Carey for 1 second. Drew Carey seemingly is the best guy in the world. For this writer's strike, Drew Carey has said, if you go into Bob's Big Boy, show your Writers Guild card, lunch is on me, including tip.
That's cool.
Until the strike is over.
That's a class act.
He's buying everyone their lunches. I've heard that Drew Carey, like at the end of a season of the Drew Carey Show, would take his whole cast and crew to Walt Disney World and like rent out a hotel. Like, it's so nice to hear like somebody just taking care of their people like that. Like when you like that, wow. Let me just call it Drew Carey.
So that is very cool of him.
That's awesome.
That makes me think of like, you know, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, or maybe we're talking about it in the office, just the idea of like what he said there at the end. It's like so important to treat your people.
It really is.
Like 100%. It goes so much further than like any project. I don't know. It just got me thinking about it a little bit. You know?
Drew Carey's a stand-up guy.
Yeah. Well, stand-up comedian. This fucking guy, dude. He's the host with the most, Chris hosts the second most.
Oh,
he's got nice tees, that guy.
Nice highs.
I was going to say, you ever had a project specifically where you were like, damn, I just really like the crew, or like, I really love the people involved in it. The project is whatever. Mostly the best part is the people involved. You have anything like that?
Yeah. It was called Shishkin Productions.
Oh, man. That's a good one. That's a cop out. But for real, does anything come to mind?
Man, off the top, I don't really know, because most of the bad projects that I've worked on were bad because of the people on it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Those happen a lot, but then that's why it's so cool, I think, to remember like the good ones.
Well, here's what I'll say. I think about something like The Flip, where it wasn't bad to work.
Great example.
It wasn't bad to work on. Like, I didn't have a bad time with it at any given point, but it was, you know, after two seasons, it was like very formulaic and like I didn't really have to put much thought into it, and it was kind of stale, but you know, I was working with Brian.
It's pretty chill to just like hang with Brian
exactly.
for 2 hours.
Yeah, and
then
we'll get lunch. Yeah, yeah. And it was fun to just because he would come in to the office and you know we do a you know a producer edit whatever, and it was just nice to break things up, see him 1 or 2 days a week, and you know the way he supervises is nice because he just lets you do your thing, and then he'll chime in with something every once in a while, and yeah, it was fun to work with him like that.
For me, the one that comes to mind is we did some like. Pitch reels, or what are they called? Rip reels. We're doing some rip reels for this agency. And those days were like kind of long and they kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But we were working with the creatives. So like they were in here in the office with us. Right. Mm. And we're just like kind of bullshitting with them and working and like telling jokes and like eating food and stuff. And like that was really cool. But you could tell like when they had to go do their meetings with the next person, those were brutal.
Yeah.
And so that was one of those things where I was like, wow, we really lucked out with the exact people who we're around because they're chill as fuck.
But yeah. And they let us work in a way very similar to Brian where it was like, hey, this is what we want. We're going to give you the time to do it. And then we'll watch back and then we'll make a couple notes and repeat the process. Yeah. So it was.
Do you guys often have people in the office, like over the shoulder type stuff?
Not often.
We try not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like my main rule.
We purposely set the office up like this where like there's that couch. So like if you want to watch it, we can plug into that TV and you could, but we always talk people out of it. We're just like, it just really isn't worth it. Like just let us cook and whatever.
We really only allow it. Like one, it was Brian. So that's chill. And for this one, that Alexi's talking about, the pay was really nice. Like they
helps.
That's exactly it. If you pay, like sure you can have access to it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I was working this like kind of free gig, and the client was like, hey, let me come through and sit down and we could go through all the raw footage together. And I just want to pick the best shots of myself. And I'm like, absolutely not.
We will not go through raw footage. That part we did not do.
Absolutely not. No, I refuse. What was your kind of situation? You got one of those that comes to mind where you're like, it doesn't matter if the gig was good or bad. It just the crew was dope and you were like stoked on that.
Yeah, I used to cut socials for a morning talk show called Everyday Struggle on Complex.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'd have to get there at like 7:30 in the morning because we needed socials out when the episode went live at like 9:30 or 10 a.m. So it was like a mad dash to get that first social out. But the producers were great. The studio crew was great. And on top of that, every month we would go out for a team dinner. So it's like the pay wasn't good at all, but the fact that I was surrounded by people that made me look forward to coming into the office, this was pre-pandemic days, it was totally worth it. So like we were talking about before, it's like even with Drew Carey, when you have people who are in the mud right next to you, it makes any job that could be a pain in the ass like so much better.
Yeah, it's true. That's why we keep Chris around. No, I'm just joking. That's why we keep me around. Chris does most of the work these days. I remember though when you were doing those, because that's what kind of when I started, I think you were already like working for them for that show. And I had like just kind of started working with Complex a little bit. And I remember because you would be wrapping up most of your work and I would just be getting in, maybe.
Yeah, that's classic for you. Strolling
you know
in
me,
around
dude. I'm
12,
11 to 12. I always say I work West Coast hours on the East Coast. That's how I operate.
I definitely showed up a little bit earlier because we'll get into this, but I went from High Dimes to work for Complex for this, and I lied to Complex and I told them I knew how to edit on Premiere Pro, but I was a Final Cut boy. And even worse, I was a Final Cut 10 boy, so I had no idea
Final
how to use
Cut 10.
Yeah, so that's how I learned how to edit, was on Final Cut 10.
Interesting.
So I told them I knew how to do Premiere and they needed quick turnaround, so I wanted to give myself like as much time as possible.
Yeah,
so yeah, I was stressed.
Sense.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a pretty great segue. I mean, you said you wanted to get into this. We're going to play a very special game. I think, how many times have we played it on the show? Like maybe three or four? So it's a pretty new one. We haven't done it in a while. And I'm going to have to dig up the sound because there is a sound cue.
That's a good one.
And it's pretty good. You know the segment. The segment's called First, Worst, and Cursed.
First. Worst.
All right, so Joe 2.0.
Love it.
You know how the game works, right? First, worst, and cursed. So first, you talk about your first job that you got ever or something close to it. Worst, you talk about, I don't know, what might have been the worst job. You determine that. And cursed, again, what's the most cursed job? Maybe it came back from the dead over and over again or something. But really,
yeah,
it's about you, you know, defining all these things for yourself, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's a very open one. So, Chris, you know how we kick this thing off. Why don't you kick it off?
Why? What? How do we kick this off? We haven't played this in months.
Come on. You don't remember it? You don't listen to the show every week? Why don't you prompt Joe, dude?
Okay. So, Joe, can you tell us about your first job? And like, it can be post-production, it can be production, it can be anything. It could be an internship. It's however you want to define it.
Yeah, I'm going to go right into my first, like, real-life job, adult job,
okay,
in terms of video. I right out of college, or actually while I was still in college, I got a job with High Times Magazine, which is, for people who don't know, a magazine about cannabis, cannabis consumption, cannabis growing, all that fun stuff.
Everyone's dream job, right?
Yeah,
fucking classic.
I found their job posting on LinkedIn or Indeed or something like that, and I was still finishing my last semester of college. But I told them I already graduated, and I went up for an interview in New York, and they liked me, and they kept me around, and it was a great job. I was definitely the only video person they had, which was a lot of work, but overall, it gave me a lot of room to like learn and make mistakes without someone getting on my ass.
Wait, so you had a year of school left to do, but did you just stop going to school, or you're just like, I'm done?
No, I lied to them, and I would commute from Philly to New York.
Oh wow.
For one full semester. Yeah. And then I would basically take my classes at night, and then I would drive back to Philly for like 2 to 3 months.
That is wild.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Because I figured it was extremely hard to break into the job market. At that time, Vice was mad popular, and I remember hitting people up about Vice all the time. And then High Times just kind of opened up for me, and it just seemed like kind of like a once in a lifetime type job. And it really was. I'm never going to go back to doing that again. But
so that, okay. I mean, I've had those situations before where like you have to kind of do some slightly questionable shit to try to get the job.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you've done that.
Yeah. Like I pretended I lived in New York before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, everyone does that. It's like I just picked a random address on Zillow, mm-hmm, and put it on my resume and then whatever. Then like they'd, oh, can you work next week? Oh, I'm busy, but I can do this, this. Then you book the flight, whatever. It happens. You know, I'm still friends with that guy, Dennis. You know Dennis. But
oh, that was with Dennis.
That was with Dennis, okay. Yeah. So he was like the guy who hired me. And so I told him that after a few months. I was like, you know, I didn't even live here like a few months ago. It's just because like, but thank you guys for taking a chance on me. Did you ever tell them that? Were you like, man, I was commuting from Philly for the whole first time?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Once you get like the chance to show them like what you're capable of, I would say maybe like 4 months in when they were like really locked in on me, I was like, yeah, I don't even live in the city. Like I actually drive in from Philly most days. Yeah, it just felt good to come clean because it's like there'd be days where I was a little extra tired, you know, from the commute. Yeah. So yeah, it was like it's worth like letting them know just so they don't think I'm being an asshole.
I imagine you're taking the train.
No, I was driving.
Oh my God. So you had to find parking and shit too. They were like in Manhattan, I assume.
I was like, yeah, they're right by Columbus Circle. So I was putting it in a parking garage. I was like making no money. It was not a great salary, but overall it led to a lot of great things. So
that's
it was
sick.
Worth it. Yeah, it was dope.
That's a crazy first one. I also got to say, like, again, that's just for me, if I was in college, I would have loved to work for Weed Magazine.
Oh, of course.
So fucking fun.
Yeah, and I was so foolish. I was like, I brought my own camera equipment and my laptop. I was like, nah, y'all don't got to buy anything. Like, I got everything on my own. So, like, they didn't give me any equipment. Maybe
that's
we had some,
probably
he was demonstrating value.
I was going to say that probably ended up working out kind of in the long run.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
how old were you?
21.
Yeah, 21. That is wild because
21.
I feel like you, I don't know, I always will tell like people to like know their worth and all that and blah, 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 blah. But then it's like, well, there's no one size fits all. Cause in that scenario, obviously like it worked.
Yeah.
Like it was cool that you had your own stuff because it built a good relationship.
Well, and sometimes part of knowing your worth is knowing that you're not worth much, right? Like because you're brand new to the industry.
Cynical way to put it, but I like it. And you're right though.
Well, I mean,
you're right.
It's like knowing the worth of the opportunity too.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of like balances out the scale of like, oh, I'm not making a lot of money, but I know this is going to lead to more things. But I agree, coming out of college, especially trying to find a job in New York, I didn't have very high standards of what I knew I was going to be eventually. Like in terms of money and salary, I was taking anything that was getting thrown to me.
You remember some of those first days, like walking? I bet you, for me, like what seems, well, I mean, obviously I base a lot of my life around lunch, but what seems cool is like you walk out of the Columbus Circle office and it's a beautiful day and like you go, you're like, there's Central Park. I'm working right here.
Like, yeah, it was just like it hit me every day I was there for probably like the first 6 months. I would say like the first week I kind of had a rough experience because it was like a classic. They left brownies out on the kitchen table and I thought for sure they were normal brownies. No. I didn't ask anyone. So I popped two and around 2 p.m. I was in the office bathroom in a stall just being like, how do I get less high?
That is fucking hilarious. They just had special brownies just sitting out.
So I was like, they're going to fire me because I was all self-conscious about it. So I would went into the office and I was like, I'm not feeling good. I got to go home, guys. And I was like, they definitely knew I was like floating across
that
the office.
Is so fucking funny.
That
bro.
Is hilarious.
I'm really glad we haven't had that happen in this office because I would be zooted. But I would just leave, I guess. One time we were at a tree fort and it was like Wednesday night, so it was super chill. Like we weren't really doing that much yet. And I was like, fuck it, I'll have a little edible. I'm not an edible guy. I can smoke joints all day, but
I had a
5 milligram gummy. It wasn't
a little guy.
Yeah,
that's
a little tiny one. Yeah. And I ate it and we're walking back and I just feel I'm obviously feeling like I'm getting high. And I'm talking to Evan, to Emu, the Emu.
Yeah.
I was talking to him. I was like, it's our friend Evan Mueller. We call him the Emu. He's not an actual Emu. I was talking to him and I was like, it's so crowded. And he was like, it's really not that crowded. Like, it's just Wednesday night. Like, it's not that crowded. I was like, I know, but it's more crowded than like usual on Wednesdays, isn't it? He was like, I don't think so, dude. It's like, yeah, it seems like it's really busy. I'm actually gonna go back to Airbnb. So I went to Airbnb, threw my phone away and like in the different room. And just me and Todd Wahlberg just watched a Blazers game and like just for like two and a half hours. And I go get my phone, feeling a little better. Like the client has like all these missed texts that she's like, I'm going to be at this show. Are you coming? I'm going to be at this show.
Yeah.
I call her. I was like, Megan, my bad. I was too high. but you know, now I'll be there. So I can only imagine though on your first week, because for us, it was like I had a really good relationship with her already. Right. So I can just say that. On your first week of a new job that you commuted 2 hours to.
Yeah. And you're like telling yourself to like walk normal because everything feels more like joint. So I was definitely walking like a robot across the office as I told them I had to go home. But yeah, I got through it. They liked me.
Did you have any more experiences like that, like at that gig?
Yeah.
I mean, you learned to be more careful, I guess.
That was definitely the first lesson. But then we had a cannabis cup in Michigan and that was when I did my first dab and doing like a dab.
Ooh.
While having to film, I remember having to film I think it was someone from 8 Mile was there to perform and we had to do an interview in the trailer and the music was just so loud. I felt it in my body and it came out great, which taught me that if I just trust my instincts while I'm high, like everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, sure.
But it was a terrifying experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
damn. What was the culture there like as far as smoking weed? Like, did people smoke during the day all the time or was it kind of like don't blaze at work or?
No, it was like everything was cool. Apparently, like a few years before I got there, they used to do like incredible amounts of nitrous in the office and mushroom Mondays, like the first week of the month and stuff like that. So
I love that.
It's probably good I missed that because my brain is like fully formed. But I think like generally like smoking obviously was a little hard during that time because 2018 New York wasn't super chill about it.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
But while we're on the road, it was just like joints on the way to the event, joints. We got to visit dispensaries all over the country. Like it was just smoking all the time.
That's cool, man. So like when you would go to these things, people like to you, it was just another job because you're just shooting. But I bet like at the dispensaries, people are like, oh my God, high times, like royalty.
Oh yeah.
I was getting free everything. And then like we would travel to like Michigan or California or Jamaica and they were just filling my suitcase up with weed and like cartridges and all this stuff. But it was, so then nuts. It was like, I'm stressed taking it back to New York. Like I'm smuggling like half a pound of weed through my bag. Yeah. So it was like an redacted, up and down experience.
Redacted.
Yeah, redacted.
I've definitely
redacted.
Never smuggled any drugs.
Never.
Well, by listening to this podcast, I've said it before, people are signing an auditory NDA as soon as they turn it on. So you're not allowed to discuss this podcast. That's why the numbers are so low. We're not allowed to promote it. All right. That's a really good first one. That's really solid. I think it's probably the best first we've ever had.
Yeah. It's better than my first.
Cool.
Yeah. Solid. Way better than my first as well. So now we're moving on to the second one of these. It's worst. I guess before we get into it, how would you define worst for you?
I think something that makes you cringe when you think back to it. So those types of projects where it's just like you kind of shake your head. You're laying in bed going through all your regrets in life and like that project comes up with the people that you work with on that project.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear this because I feel like some people think of it as like literally the worst video they made, where it's just like, it was really bad. I can't believe that went live or whatever.
Sure.
So it's interesting to hear. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. What's your worst project?
Yeah. So I would say my worst project, and we're kind of time jumping here. So this was technically before my first real job, but it was when I was shooting and trying to make some money in college back in Philly. There was this group called the Dollar Boys. And they were
I love this already.
They were like a bunch of like 8 to 10 year old young kids that would dance, and like they had such a reputation in Philly, it was insane actually. So like I used to get shuttled to these clubs, and I would make these little mini documentaries about them just to like showcase it. But what made this job so bad?
These the ones?
Yes, those are the ones.
The Dollar Boys.
And I want to be careful how I speak here, because when I was leaving Philly, I'll get to this point in the story. Okay. The first time I had a gig with them, I thought the owner of the Dollar Boys offered to drive me, and he picked me up, and he shows up in a pickup truck, and there's 3 Dollar Boys in the front seat, and there's nowhere for me to sit, and he's like, yeah, just hop in the back. So I'm in this pickup truck in the middle of North Philly, lying down with my camera equipment. It's like kind of misty, raining a little bit, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life, man? Oh, this is not God. Why I went to college. This is all bad. And I think what ends up making this job the worst is that there was allegations that the founder of the Dollar Boys was he was into kids.
Not surprising.
So yeah. So, and then we should definitely verify any of this information beforehand.
Look, I will again, blanket statement here. This is a stupid podcast, so none of this is actually, you know, whatever, because I'm telling you, this isn't getting edited. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I'm comfortable with that being out there, because there definitely was some allegations, but to know that my name was now connected in this circle, and I have these memories of driving through North Philly in a pickup truck with these children. Yeah. It was just, yeah. So that was definitely what came to me first when I think of worst job.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty miserable experience in terms of, I feel like those types of things, you're right. Like you said, it was before your first one, right? So those types of things tend to happen when like you're green as fuck and you don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, you can't spot the red flags.
Exactly. Because I think I've had my fair share of those types of things as well. How did you find out about it? Did you get paid?
No. Oh my God. So, and I connected with him because I don't know if you remember this trend of videos back in the day where someone would like hold up a sign and be like, hey, can I ask you a question? And then they would like interview them on camera and be like, what's your biggest regret? So I like saw one of those videos, and I went to the middle of Center City, Philadelphia, with a giant sign being like, stop and let me ask you a question. And I would make like little documentaries based on the answers given to me. Very like low quality stuff, but
that's
like,
cool though.
Yeah, but that's how I connected. Yeah, exactly. And it helped me like talk to people and figure that type of shit out. So that's how I got connected. Yeah.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I feel like nowadays that's all the content is as well.
People like TikTok. Up a little,
oh my God. You know, it's like my biggest, I don't go to parks now because I'm afraid of someone walking up to me with a phone and being like, hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah. I'd be like, go ahead, dude. Ask away. I'm an open book.
You're not even on social media like that though. That's so what I'm saying. You don't got to worry about
anything.
I
don't really care. You know what I mean? But I just don't go to parks because of the nature part. Not a fan. I got to stay indoors. Yeah. I don't know. Worst. You got any questions about that worst one?
Nah, I honestly, I don't want to get too deep into it, just in case there's some bullshit.
I understand. Yeah. Understand.
I will say, like, just I watched a couple of the videos, and it's strange. Like,
yeah,
I'm not surprised that you didn't get paid, because I was like, how do they even monetize this? Like, it's just a bunch of like young kids dancing.
Yeah, it's insane. And they like the owner was giving them like stacks of cash to hold in the club, and there's these like little 7 to 10 year old girls. So it was like a children's hangout, but nightclub. Walking around the dance floor with this camera, and there's just these little children all around me.
I gotta say, you're absolutely crushing this segment.
It's true.
Because the first one was really good, very powerful. This worst one is really worst. Really worst. So I guess that leaves us with the last one.
Yeah.
It's cursed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Cursed. How do you define cursed, Chris?
I think my example was a project that, you know, we basically signed on for 3 videos with like a really like a household name company, and we're really excited to work with them. And we kind of like we built out a post calendar for them, and you know, we expected to be working on that project on those days that we put in there. But somehow there was a miscommunication, and they expected us to work on it like every day for a damn near 5 months. And
basically it was like, hey, here's the price. It buys you this amount of edit days.
Right.
And they're like, here's how we're going to space them out. Here's when we're turning shit in. Right. But they were just like, I guess they didn't look at it. All they looked at was the deadlines.
Yeah, they kept like, asking for more, and then we'd be like, it's going to cost more, and then that would piss them off. And then like we weren't having a good time because they didn't get their stuff in, like they didn't make their notes in time.
Right.
You know, they just kept going around thinking they had more revisions or something, or thinking, oh, we're a massive company and they want to work with us, so they're just going to bend over and take it.
Yeah.
And when they,
I mean, like literally, I think every time that we would like push back, they would just get like mad.
And it was so
just
awkward.
Like, guys, I don't know what to tell you.
I'll tell you
more about it off.
We'll talk details, because I don't know if it was a high-end fashion company, but the high-end fashion gigs that I've been on, exact same thing.
I think it's just any sort of client who thinks that they are in a position, because they are in a position of power, obviously, like there is a power dynamic, but
yeah,
there are certain ones that abuse it, and they go, what, you don't want to work with company X? Like, are you kidding me? And it's like, right. Yeah, I'd rather just be a normal human, like be treated like a normal human, you know? Yeah, what I mean, yeah. I don't want to like be yelled at all day.
Yeah, sure. There's very few organizations now that I would like lower my standards in terms of what I want to do as an editor. Yeah. To like work with them, like, yeah, I'm past that part of my life.
Same. I mean, you're almost 30, bro.
Almost 30 next month.
Almost dead, bro. Ooh, lower him into the fucking ground. Cursed, what do you got?
I worked for a beauty brand for a major pharmacy that I'm not going to specifically say who it was. It's a big W. what was so cursed about that is it was during the pandemic, and we shot these beauty brand creator videos, but they hired a bunch of creators that never shot with camera equipment before. So it was
like TikTok people,
yeah, like phones.
Like people with like 200 followers that they like picked from like a submission contest or something like that.
Oh,
so yeah, like
micro influencers.
So that was like a pain in the ass because they don't know how to act on video, and like, but I've done that before. That's not bad. But there was one person who would do all of her videos, and it would be like her theme was like bubble bath time with so-and-so, and it was just like her in a bathtub like eating pizza and all that. And like, when I tell you that this spiraled me into such depression, like watching this footage over and over again, because like trying to make something out of nothing, you know, is like such a challenging task.
Yeah,
as an editor.
Absolutely.
And when and like they just kept wanting, I had probably cut like 25 of these videos, and they were like 2 to 3 minutes a piece, and like that stands out as like, it's like in my mind as a cursed object.
What do you do in those situations where like you just can't, like the stuff they give you just doesn't work, like you can't do anything to it? Like, what do you have, like a trick?
I
have one.
I think I know your trick, but maybe not, and it might be my trick. My trick is to make it as concise and digestible as possible. So you cut out all the dead air, you cut out all the ums, you cut out all the bullshit things that nobody wants to hear. So it goes from like 10 minutes of footage down to like a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a background track on it, and then you give it to them and be like, this is literally the best I could do with it, because they didn't give me any B-roll or anything like that, so there's nothing to cut away to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. As long as you can cut out any ums and pauses in dialogue, then you're at least giving them a quick video, and that's better than nothing.
That's true. For me, my kind of thing that I go to is I just toss some like random graphics on it.
Yeah.
I'll go to like Motion Array and just like download some weird like random graphics, throw them in, put some text in, and suddenly they're like, oh my God, it's incredible. And you're like, well, thanks.
I've just been getting into my Motion Array bag, and like those templates are lifesavers.
Yeah, they really are.
Good videos.
It's insane. So, okay, wait, I want to get back to this curse thing, because I'm not even understanding. These people filmed themselves?
Yeah.
With their phones.
Some had like cheap camcorders. Some were okay. Like there were beauty influencers, but the one girl who did her things from the bathtub was not good. And when she would eat the pizza, there'd be like pizza sauce on her face that she wouldn't wipe away. So it's just like, I have this image in my head. Yeah, it just made me feel uncomfortable. And like also like you're making an editor watch this footage of you in a bathtub, like uncut. I don't know. It was just not enjoyable.
Pizza in a bathtub is like a weird
thing.
That's
not
a
good
bath
food.
You don't
want to.
Yeah, good bath food. I would like, I don't even think there's a good bath food. Maybe like spinach or something, because it's supposed to be wet.
Right.
For me, it's like a bath beverages, you know?
Yeah.
When you're in a
bath,
you got to have a beverage.
Yeah, that's
but
okay.
I don't know about a food, you know? You ever snack in the bath?
I've never snacked in the bath. No. Are there like waterproof foods? What are waterproof foods?
Spinach,
like
grapes.
Grapes.
Okay.
Grapes would be a good bath.
All right,
food.
Grapes.
But you're going to be hot. It's going to be a hot bath.
Grapes are such a classic bath food. Because if you like see like old school like yeah. people in a bath being fed grapes.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
So that's number one.
Okay. I like the spinach idea. That's good.
I don't know about, I don't like wet spinach.
What?
I like my spinach kind of
like dry.
Well, I don't want it wet with water, with like warm bath water.
I do.
Okay. Well, my bad. My bad.
Some soap on that.
Bro, my YouTube or my Google search is so messed up because I just searched bathtub pizza and
That'd be wild if that video came up from just
I was trying.
No, because I remember you were telling me about this. It was because it was the girl in the tub. It's tub girl. Type in tub girl.
Oh, tub girl?
Yeah, that's
oh,
okay. That's what he worked on.
Okay.
You got any cursed questions, Chris?
Cursed questions.
Questions about the cursed project? How much of your life did you dedicate to it? I guess is one question.
So it was probably my highest paying freelance gig of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Like
that's good.
It was great. So that's what makes it even more cursed is like money wise, it was perfect. Like the most amount of money I ever made freelancing was from that gig. And it was probably 5 months. But by the end of it, I was like, maybe it's not worth the money.
Were they like happy with the videos?
Yeah, they were like,
okay.
They were scheduling Zoom calls for me to talk to the creators to help them film more. And I was like, you're going to have to pay me a little bit more for that because I'm not a producer.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you worked with them again?
No, they dissolved the branch after.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
I think my biggest question is what does a bathtub and a pizza have to do with pharmaceuticals?
You got to be off some pharmaceuticals to eat pizza in a bathtub.
Was that just like that girl's shtick? Like she does all her videos that way?
I think she just really liked pizza and they were allowing her to write it off for like as a business expense, you know, maybe. Yeah. So it was between that and like she would do like, here's how to put Epsom salt in your bathtub, which is like, you don't need a tutorial for that. But like, sure, I guess.
Something you would buy at a drugstore.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the fact that you called this one your most cursed one is really interesting because I feel like if I'd made a bunch of money doing really easy videos, I would never call it cursed.
What would you classify that as?
A good gig.
Yeah.
A chill ass gig that you got to do and make a bunch of money.
You know, I think the timing was everything because mid pandemic, there was like nothing to do. So I would just wake up and edit these videos and like, it was just me and this girl in the bathtub.
So the most cursed part is the fact that it's her specific video. The fact that you can't get that image out of your brain.
Yeah, that's what's cursed.
That makes sense.
It.
I feel good.
Well, and especially like if it was during the pandemic, like everyone's morale was pretty low and like, things were weird, so spending 8 hours looking at something like that would get to you.
And it wasn't even good content, you know? Like, at a certain point in your career, it's like, yeah, money's nice, but then you want to be making stuff that actually gives you joy, too. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel that.
What about the documentary, though, that you made? You right?
I'm glad it's over. I mean, that was cool, but I mean, that was more just to try a new format.
Right.
You know? It was way too much.
Well,
work.
That's what Alexi's doing right now. This is his creative branch now. Is the podcast.
Podcasts
like
are fun.
That's what he likes doing.
I'm 33. I'm white and I'm a dude.
Yeah. You're overdue.
I know. I was running late on it. No, I don't know, man. I guess it is. I don't know, but I make music and shit.
That's
and
true. Yeah.
I just kind of do a lot of things mid.
Videos just for work or like just for money for you these days, right? Pretty much.
Think. I don't know. I want to make something soon. Okay. I want to make something.
I admire that because I'm still struggling to get like it's like not being afraid to fail, like trying something out and like who cares if nobody watches it or listens to it. Like I'm getting over that hump now in my career where it's like, just fuck it. Like, let me go out
just
and try something.
Just make whatever you want to make.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
It's like Chris, dude. Chris is you know, you might not know, but he makes a bunch of content pieces. He's really like a content god.
Content god.
Chris just plays Zelda.
That's true.
He makes fucking
I don't really make stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Outside of work.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. It's
well, you're busy. You don't really have that much time. I mean, I guess you do play a lot of fucking Zelda. I wasn't coming at you, but then I was like, what? Is he busy? Like, he's just playing
Zelda.
You mean
outside of work?
Outside of work. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of like,
I play sports
and
like live life.
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm not doing that.
I'm saying, I'm chilling.
Yeah.
I'm drinking beers with friends or I'm basically just drinking beers with friends. That's kind of it.
My partner was like, you need a hobby. And I was like, no, I take photos. And she's like, no, that's work still. Like, you got to stop. Yeah. Like, go do something.
Well, and that's part of the reason that I don't do video stuff creatively anymore is because it is my job. So, like, I don't want to bring that outside of work.
Do you not like how it turned into your, like, because it was originally not your job. It was your interest, right?
So. Yeah. I knew that it would turn out this way because, like, I went to high school. I went to an art school for creative writing and I used to love writing. And then, you know, going to school for it and like turning my hobby into my discipline, I started to hate writing and I don't write at all anymore. So I knew something similar would happen with video. I knew I wouldn't always be as passionate about it, but I still I don't think there's another path that I would have taken.
Did you ever actually have a passion for filmmaking though?
No,
I definitely
not really.
I still don't.
Nah. Yeah.
I always thought it was fun. I thought it was really cool. Like, especially when I was first learning, when I got my first camera, when I downloaded Creative Cloud for the first time, like all that was really cool. Getting the news job and like becoming a photographer, I felt really cool for a little bit. But like the actual process of it, I'm not in love with it. It's just, it's like the least painful way to make money, in my opinion.
That's how I feel too.
I think I'm lucky in the sense that like music is hobby and this is work. And luckily work is kind of fun. So I'm not really mad at it.
Yeah.
I think you said you don't care about filmmaking either. Like it's not like it wasn't your passion.
No, I would like the first year or two into college, I definitely wanted to be like in the director's chair. And then I realized that you just need so many people to make a movie. And that kind of was like a turnoff to me in terms of like working with a bunch of people. And then I took a photojournalism class and like that got me hooked into documentary filmmaking. So then throughout college, I made a little company called Graph PHL, where we made like 30-ish YouTube videos. We made a graffiti documentary. Like it's got a couple million views the channel's on. And it was a solid project. And I think that's where my passion came from for documentaries was like I had something that no one else could affect. And I was able to document a culture that nobody else really knew about.
Yeah.
And that feeling of being able to get something that people weren't aware of was like my passion. So like, like making stuff was my passion, but not actually being a filmmaker, I would say was like a direct passion.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Did you work on No Free Walls?
No, I didn't.
Word.
No.
Cause I know that was a complex thing. You know, No Free Walls? You can explain.
Yeah, No Free Walls was a documentary. It shot and edited right before I came in at Complex, but was about how they're selling off all the walls in Brooklyn that are normally for public murals or artist murals. They're selling them to companies for sale space. Oh, for advertising. Great. I think it's still on YouTube, actually.
It probably is.
Yeah.
But it's centered around the Bushwick Collective, who's like the artists around
here. Yeah. Of course.
Shout out to Dave Matthews, the producer on that.
Yes, we got to have Dave on. That'd be so fun.
Dave,
dude, I haven't talked to Dave in like
I think he might be in Atlanta, but he comes up to New York every now and then. Bro, yeah, for sure.
We got the internet these days,
that's
my guy. any last things you want to say about the cursed thing before we wrap this segment?
No, I hope to never talk about it again.
Yeah, so
perfect.
Chris,
we'll bury that.
I will end this by saying I know your passion was writing for a while and then it went away.
Yes.
And then it was filmmaking, sort of. And then it went away. But I hope you never lose your passion for eating pizza in a tub. don't lose that glimmer in your eye, Chris.
I won't.
And those are some nice teas you got. All right, let's get to what we learned last week. What we learned
last week. All right, you want me to start us off?
Yeah.
All right, so this week...
Why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Okay, cool. So while I was editing the overclocking RAM thing, I wanted to listen to the selects in slightly faster, but not double speed. And I wasn't sure if there was a way to do that in Premiere. Because, you know, they a couple of them had like kind of thicker accents, so I couldn't do 2x speed. And so I just searched it, and yeah, apparently you can. If you hold shift while you use your JNL keys, I think it goes in increments of either 10% or 25%. I got conflicting information, but it definitely you can go a little bit slower. The only issue I had with it is you can't
reverse playback.
No, you can. You don't know how fast you're going. There's not like a display anywhere. You just have to keep in mind how many times you hit it. And the other thing I learned while also doing this project is So we talked about how Premiere does transcription now, like transcribe to sequence, whatever. In last year's version, you could just transcribe that sequence, but now the default option is when you transcribe a sequence, it's actually transcribing the source videos that are in that sequence, so that whenever you cut some of it and move it around, it stays with that.
It's transcribed once and it's good. It's almost like source clip correction, source clip color correction, source clip transcription.
Cool. Yeah, that's sick.
Now, you got a little two for one there.
Yeah.
The listeners got lucky.
Well, yeah, why not?
Two things.
Question for the fast playback, were you using that to go through interview footage or a B-roll?
That was for interviews. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I just wanted that. I wanted to hear it a little bit quicker. Because like I had an idea of what everything was about, but you know sometimes you're looking for that specific sound bite and you don't want to go at 1x and then 2x is a little too fast.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially for like an hour worth of interviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, what I learned, you guys know Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously.
Who?
Cristiano Ronaldo. The soccer player. We didn't even plan that. He, you know, obviously a leading goal scorer. He scored a ton of goals in his career. Played for Manchester United for a good while. Scored a bunch of goals, right, for Manchester United. You know who Jamie Vardy is?
Yeah.
So Jamie Vardy didn't play in the Premier League until he was 27 years old. That was the first time he started playing in the Premier League.
Really?
He's got more Premier League goals than Cristiano Ronaldo.
No way.
According to this random TikTok I saw. I didn't fact check it.
Okay.
But how crazy is that?
That's pretty insane. Yeah. He must have had a hell of a run during that title year. I wonder how many goals he dropped. Did he win the Golden Boot for that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Mm. I mean, if you're top of the table, you must be scoring goals.
Yeah, so. Right?
He has...
Google fingers Chris. He's on it.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
To be confirmed. We'll figure it out. I'll get to it next week.
He has like 156, but that's not
insane, right?
That's crazy. Shout out to Vardy.
I think that's all his clubs. So I think there's a couple of years that don't count there, but
you know what? He's doing his thing. And you know, I mean, you guys, I'm sure know, maybe you don't, but
he had 24 goals in 2015 to 2016.
That was probably that year.
Yeah.
Right? Well. But the big thing about Jamie Vardy that, you know, I'll do a twofer as well, is that he used to always eat. He would, what would he do before every match? He would, I think, drink a Coca-Cola and like 3 Red Bulls before every match. And that was that season.
Wow.
He looks like a person who would drink a Coca-Cola and 3 Red Bulls.
He really does.
He's a little haggard.
He really
does. Oh my God.
All right. What did you learn last week, Joe? You told me to write down the word phosphorus and refused to tell me anymore. So
yes.
Very interested in where this is going.
This room will slowly fill with phosphorus.
Oh,
so I got a 2 for 2.
What?
If it's okay.
Oh, what a day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So first off,
6-pack of what we learned.
Joe, going off your Premiere tips,
sure.
I recently found out last week that how I organize footage through B-roll, I throw all my B-roll on a timeline and then I clip out the parts that I like and bring it to a track that I like, essentially,
sure,
so
same.
I can keep it organized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you're able to close the gap between all those. I had
We learned that like 3 weeks
idea.
Ago. I didn't know that either. And I was like, I remember you used to be able to do this in Final Cut 7. Why can't you do it in Premiere?
Yeah.
And Chris was like, you can do it in Premiere. I was like, I don't think you can. And he was like, yeah, like you've been able to do it for like a year. I was like, what? Like, but
it's incredible.
I'm glad that you, I feel, what's it called? Like confirmed
or
whatever.
Validated.
Validated. Fact that like you also just discovered it.
Yeah. Those Adobe products, there's always little secret hidden tools. So it's fun to find those little guys.
Cause it lives like in the menu up top.
Yeah. I mapped it out to
Y. It's like just an option. It's not even hidden.
Yeah.
I mapped it out to Y because the letter Y, it's like two things coming together.
You mapped it? Nice.
I got to map it. I don't configure my keyboard.
Got to map it. Map it. All right. So that's the first one.
Yeah. And my second one, we're going outer space here. The planet Saturn, one of its moons, just expelled, I think like a 2-mile radius of gas that contains phosphorus. And that's important because phosphorus is like one of the main building blocks of our DNA. So the fact that we found phosphorus on a moon means that there is almost certainly living life underneath the ice of
Saturn's moon.
Saturn's moon. Thank you for helping me.
That's fucking sick.
That's pretty lit.
Yeah.
So here's a thing that I have with space, you know, that shit happened over there, but that's far away.
Mm-hmm.
And, That means it happened a long ass time ago already. Because doesn't it take us a while to see shit that far away?
Yeah.
I've never felt like more of a fucking idiot than when I talk about space.
That's right in theory, but I think within our solar system, all those things are happening within like an hour or two of like when we're actually seeing them. As opposed to like there's stars that are 14 billion years away and like that happened 14 billion years ago that we're seeing them.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of dead shit in space for
sure.
Dude,
we need to get over to Saturn stat. We need to start digging up that ice.
That's like my dying wish in life, not Saturn, but I would love to see Jupiter before I die. That'd so be pretty cool. I'm hoping we like, you know,
I heard up that's where girls travel. Go to get more stupider.
That's all I'm saying. Find out.
That's all I'm saying. I think that, oh, actually, it, I don't know if you saw this. The NHL just announced that they're going to do their next like Winter Classic on the moon.
On the ice moon,
On the ice moon. You knew where that one was going. All right. Joe, thank you for joining us today. Chris, why don't you give the quick spiel on the plugs and then, you know what, why don't you plug first, actually, whatever you want to plug in them.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm Joe. I'm based in Brooklyn. I'm a videographer and shooter, editor, all that fun stuff. And you could find my work at joecreates.com.
That's right. Joe 2.0, as we call him.
Yes, sir.
If Joe Nana, if you're mad about that, why don't you call in and tell us how you feel about being Joe 1.0.
Look, I'm Chris 1.0. Amy is Amy 1.0. It happens, all right, Joe?
Happen.
Don't worry about it.
It does happen.
You'll be fine. You're in good company.
I think I'm safe.
Yeah.
Alexi Lawless is the only other one, but he's definitely 1.0.
He's definitely 1.0.
So it's good to be 2.0.
2.0, yes. Are you kidding me? Of course. Okay, it's the best. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's all good. Chris 2.0 owns a flea market.
So. He does. It's true.
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are Sizzle Reel Gang at gmail.com. Send us an email. We're Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com. It is new. It is improved.
Oh, my God, dude.
Give it a visit.
It is so improved.
So, yeah. JoeCreates.com, also new and improved.
Very, very improved.
And anything else? Oh, duh. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
This is a real cold line. How could we forget?
Yeah, that is 332-333-4361.
Call the cold line. We need some callers.
Yeah, I believe last week we actually gave you prompts.
And nothing.
And nothing.
Kevin, call in, bitch. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. See you later. Bye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.